I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I give you a welcome to each one who has come out this evening to worship. As was already mentioned, this evening the title is Keeping Worship Services a Priority. I'd like to give you a word picture as a starter. I want you to go back hundreds of years ago when our forefathers were facing extremely difficult times. Way back when people hated Christians and people tried to get rid of them. And in that setting, we had faithful men who risked their lives getting together for the sake of worship. Maybe it was a storm outside, which they may have welcomed to keep the authorities at bay as they gathered outside in maybe the cold or the rain or some cave or somewhere. And they come together and they congregate through the difficulty of the circumstances that surrounded them. And I want you to notice their commitment. But I, in turn, want to take you to our time and age today, and I want you to look at the difference. We come home, and most of us, or some of us, pull our vehicles right into the garage. When we want to leave, we go out in the garage. It's not very cold out there, maybe even. We get in our vehicles, and we start the key, and we sit in our comfortable seats, and before long, even in cold weather like this, our heater's working. And we don't need to be scared that there's going to be a political or an authority that's going to stop us on the way to church. And we can come into this setting into a warm building and congregate, and the heat's turned on and it feels comfortable in here. But for some reason, in America, with our prosperity and our liberty, for some reason, commitment to church life continues to dwindle. Isn't that sad? I want you to think of that picture as we go through this message. Again, the topic assigned, keeping worship services a priority. When I got this assignment, it literally had some of these things on for us to consider. It worded like this: from job conflict, to family gatherings, to vacations, etc. And it gave two questions for us to think about this evening. And in summary, that is going to be our message. The first question was, number one, how quickly do I miss church? Secondly, the second question they gave is, what does worship do for our souls? And so this evening, the message will be coupled with sharing what worship does for us and also keeping services a priority. I'm going to start out by asking seven questions this evening. I'm not going to answer them necessarily, but I just want them here for us to think about. Number one, should church attendance be way below enrollment? Number two, what has the right to keep us away from worship services? Number three, how sick should one be to cancel out going to worship services? Number four, Would we be comfortable if everyone would follow our pattern of church attendance? Number five, what is the greatest threat to worship services in America? Number six, how strong is our commitment to attend regular worship services? And number 7, have we found the blessing of worship? Now, I mentioned I'm not going to answer these, but probably actually as we go through the message, some of them may become clear or answered. But I want you to think about those questions. I broke my message up into 3 different parts this evening. First of all, I'd like to just define the title a little bit and make some observations regarding the title. In defining the title, we have the word worship. And I ask the question this evening, what is worship? And this is what the dictionary definition gave. To love, to adore, to admire, to reverence, to idolize, to show devotion. And I like to say this evening that worship can be made by word or action. In other words, we come together this evening and we worship by words. We sing, we praise God. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But there's also another side where we worship by our actions. And sometimes it speaks very loud and clear to us by what we drive or etc. You get the idea. I'm not going into that much. But I'd like to bring out 2 aspects regarding worship. Number 1 is worship to God, and this shows our loyalty to God as a supreme being. This evening it is right for us to come to the house of God to worship God, to love Him, to adore Him, to admire Him, to reverence Him, to idolize Him. Why? Because He is God, because He is the supreme being, and He is worthy of our worship. Psalms 95 and verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You see, God made us, didn't He? Sure He did. The supreme being of the universe created us and brought us into this world. And this evening, we are to worship God because God is worthy of our worship and praise. One of the aspects of keeping worship services a priority because God is worthy of our praise and worship. There's another aspect of worship that I like to consider. The one is we worship God, and secondly, worship brings refreshment to our souls. See, it gives us strength to keep going on in life. One worships God, and the other refreshes our souls. Is that important to you this evening? Do you need strength to keep going on in your life? Then we need worship. Psalms 22 and verse 29 says, All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him. And none can keep alive his own soul. I'm not sure what this verse is all saying, but what I'm trying to get out is this. Worship saves our soul. Is it important to keep worship services a priority? Depends what you want for your life. Is it important that your soul be saved? God is worthy of our worship and praise. And worship saves our soul. I'd also like to define the word priority in the title, keeping worship services a priority. What is a priority? This is what the dictionary gives. Status established in order of importance or urgency. And I simply like to say this evening that we choose what will take priority in our life. And some of these priorities can be evil. And some of these priorities can be good. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on regarding priority and where that fits in place. But I'd like to say this. What takes priority in our life is finally what we worship. Keep that in mind. I'd like to move on now to five observations I'd make regarding the title. I looked at the title and I tried to understand what it's saying here. And I got five observations I'd like to talk about. Keeping worship service is a priority. Number one, it takes energy to maintain our worship with God. You know, that's hard work, isn't it? Feeding the spiritual man is much harder than feeding our physical appetites. It's not hard for me to go home and get a bowl of food and eat it up. That's not hard for me. I like that. Matter of fact, I like to do it more than once a day. And three isn't even good enough for me. I like to eat at least four times a day. See, that's something I enjoy. That's something I like to do. See, it feeds my physical man. But you know what? Feeding the spiritual man is a lot harder. Have you sat down with your Bible as many times as you ate today? Something for you to think about. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And I'd like to say with this, that this is a personal thing. If we want to be renewed, then what must we do? "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If we need to be renewed, then we need to renew the inward man. And that is a personal choice. And that's part of worship. The other side of that is collectively. Hebrews 3, verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." But whether in a personal sense, when we sit down and we take our Bibles and we read it personally, or whether we have to come to church, or whether we come to church collectively, it takes energy. It takes work. But this evening, I like to say we need worship services to renew our spiritual man. If we want to be renewed day by day, if we want to be exhorted, if we don't want to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, then we need to worship. We need worship services to renew our spiritual man. Number two, the potential to choose the wrong priority. We have the potential to choose the wrong priority. Worship to God and spiritual fellowship tends to secondary interest. Now we touched on that some, but I'd like to bring out Matthew 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This evening I'd like to just bring out that we need to give careful consideration of the motive for missing church. And I'm especially concerned about missing church services due to self-infliction. And what I mean about that is things we bring on ourselves. Whether it's because we bit off too much work, too big of a mortgage, whether we plan too many camping trips, or because of the job I have, or etc. Things that are in our power to determine what we want to do with. I don't believe that selfish agenda should crowd out our worship services. Worship to God receives the greatest blessing. And so this evening we need to choose the right priority. And we have many of those opportunities, and we're going to talk about some good opportunities that I'm going to give some concern on, because they shouldn't be replaced with worship. Number three, worship is of most importance. Man is created by God to worship. And either we worship God or we worship self. You know, it's that simple. Sometimes we complicate the matter, but really, there it is. Either we worship God or we worship self. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, we have the devil tempting Jesus. And Satan wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him and to make stones into bread. And Jesus finally told the devil, he said, after each temptation, he rebuked him and he gave him, or he, maybe I should say, he quoted a Bible verse to counteract what the devil was trying to say. And Jesus finally told Satan, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 6 and 24, we have this. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so we see here that worship is of utmost importance. And I believe that worship to God should be of highest precedence in our life. Moving on, fourthly, an observation to the title, we have a collective gathering. And I believe that worship ought to be a personal experience, but I believe it needs to be coupled with a collective gathering. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Coming together in a collective way. Matthew 18 and verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We see collective gathering, and today it concerns me because we're living in an age where the push is towards individualism. And there's emphasis put on just going out into the woods because I can get more out there in the woods by myself than maybe even coming to church service and worshiping. But you know what? God desires to have people that are committed and accountable to each other. God wants us to come together in a collective way to worship him. And fifthly, another observation, other activities have priority. The title, Keeping Worship Services a Priority. There's a lot of priorities that we have in life. And I like to say this very carefully this evening, but church services are not always the highest form of worship. I want you to think about that. You know, there's times where we need to determine what God is calling us to do at the moment. You know, there might become a time when God wants us to just stay home with a new addition, with a sick family member, or an emergency that's ordained by God. And I believe in times like that, when God is calling us to those responsibilities, that God can receive more worship tending to those needs than putting other lives in danger. Putting lives in danger to get to a worship service. But I want to say that very carefully because I don't want that to be a handle as a way to stay out of church. But there are times for that. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Keeping worship services a priority. I'd like to move on to the second part of my message. Hindrances to keeping worship services a priority. I have four things I'd like to share this evening. And this can either be a personal or a collective pursuit, and I'll give some direction on both. Hindrances to keeping worship services a priority. Number one is an unprepared heart. I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 8. There's a few verses I'd like to read from that passage this evening. Luke chapter 8. I like to turn in the Bible some for some of these or all of these points. Luke chapter 8. We're talking about an unprepared heart or a sleeping attitude. And here we have the story, the parable of the farmer and the four soils. But I want you to notice that only one was well prepared. Luke chapter 8, I like to begin at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. I'd simply like to say this evening that the more we prepare for worship, the more we will get out of it. You know, if no prayers are offered for the preacher or the teacher or the Sunday school teacher or the song leader, do you think that the fullest blessing of worship will be ours? I doubt it. If our hearts are not prepared, critical thoughts or a good nap might be the end result. And so we see this as a hindrance to worship. An unprepared heart is a hindrance to worship. Secondly, another hindrance to worship is performance. Like if you could turn to Luke chapter 18. This evening what I'm talking about here is going through the right motions to look good and feel good. But in Luke chapter 18 we have the Pharisee and the publican going up to pray. And Jesus talks about this parable. And notice the performance of the Pharisee as he prayed. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Today we live in a time where there's emotional testimonies, but many people in our society live in direct disobedience to the word of God. Emphasis is put on praise and worship and having the right band and making the right music and maybe having the right amount of numbers. But there's no discipleship. But let's bring it home. I know many times I feel convicted about performance in worship services. You know, worship services isn't all about a formality or making a good impression. No, it's about connecting with God. And when we come to church to put on a spiritual front to impress others, it's performance. It's not worship. And so performance is a hindrance to worship. Another hindrance to worship, number three, is self-interest. Turn back a few pages to Luke chapter 14. Self-interest, pursuits of materialism and pleasure. Here we have a story of a man sent out to welcome people to a wedding. And notice in Luke chapter 14, verse 18, they were bidden to come, and in 18 it says, And they all with one consent began to make excuse and said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. You know what? America is filled with all kinds of opportunities, with work and sports, and you name it. Opportunities in America, yes, right here. I'm very concerned that the American mentality doesn't slowly ebb at us until we decide we don't need worship. You know what? There's some people that are selling out big. They're selling out worship for a big property, for a big investment, for a big mortgage, for a big retirement, for big goals, for big money, for big dreams, you name it. And these people in the story said, I can't come. Self-hindrance, self-entrance, interests are a hindrance to worship. Another hindrance, fourthly, is an unbalanced priority. I don't think I'll turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 8, was it that a man wanted to follow Jesus? Or, well, actually, I'm going to turn to it because I don't have the story. Matthew chapter 8, I'd just like to read a few verses from there. Matthew 8 and verse 19. Actually, let's start at 21. A disciple came unto Jesus and said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, let the dead bury their dead. When I'm referring to unbalanced priority here, I'm referring to good service. Could good service come in the way of worship? I believe that as Christian, mission work is our responsibility. But I also believe that mission must not supersede worship. Our regular services ought to be well attended, whether Sunday school service or Sunday services or prayer meeting, winter Bible schools, summer Bible schools. I think they should be well attended. Things like children's class and chorus and personally conducted Bible studies and social parties are not a fair trade for worship services. Not a fair trade. Service can be good, but service does not justify taking the place of worship. And I'd just like to say that if worship services have become optional in attending, then consider whether service has taken priority over worship. Service opportunities can be a hindrance to worship. Moving on to the last part of the message, keeping worship services a priority. How? How do we keep worship services a priority? I have 4 things, and it's basically a summary of what we've talked about. Number 1, believing worship to God. Believing worship to God is the highest priority and all other activities is secondary. We could go to John chapter 4, Jesus talking to the woman. And he was telling her that it's not as important where you worship. But this too, worship in spirit and in truth. That is the important part. Worship God. Worship in honesty. Worship in truth. That's what God wants from us. If you turn to Mark 12, we would see the first and second commandment, where it is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Believing worship to God is the highest priority and all other activities as secondary. God must come first. Secondly, people. Number 2, How do we keep worship services a priority? Knowing the value of worship, personally or collectively. In Luke chapter 10, we have the story of Jesus going to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha was cumbered with much serving, and she became disgruntled because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And so she started complaining to Jesus, and Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the better part. I don't know how you find it, but it's easy and very important to have your house just right, to have the food just right, to have the outside just right when you come to church, or have everything in order. But you know what? We need worship. Whether it's in our homes or in the churches, we could turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and it gives the roles of the church. Why? Because God expects people to come together in a collective way to worship, because it worships God and it does something for us. How do we keep worship services a priority? Number 3, proper attitude of self in the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See that attitude about self? Humility. And you know what? If we're humble about ourselves, it's not hard to fit in with other people. Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affection one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. If we have submission and honor for each other, it's going to be a big deal to come together to the house of God to worship and keep it a priority? No. How do we keep worship services a priority? Number 4, and lastly, I simply have making a commitment. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Keep on keeping on. Be unmovable. Don't change. Even though you see the society is leaving worship services and they're going after all kinds of other stuff, don't move. Keep worship as a priority. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep in the Lord's work, even if you don't make as much money as some other people do, because they don't worship God. They don't abound themselves in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep laboring in the Lord, because your labors are not in vain. You know what? At the end, the Lord promises a reward for those. Make a commitment. You know, there's going to be times when you don't feel like coming to church, right? Maybe you're different than me. But you know what? Determine in your heart that you're going to be at the worship service. Because sometimes in those times, we just need to go back to our foundation and say, I made a commitment that worship will be prioritized in my life as the most important. God bless you.